Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
The Growing in Grace podcast with Mike and Joel. Thank you once again for finding us, for checking us out. We've been doing this for just about a couple of decades now, and we just continue doing what we're doing because in our hearts, we just really want to share the good news of Jesus Christ and give people some of that blessed assurance that even the traditional denominational churches like to sing about, Joel. Blessed assurance, but we sing about it, but sometimes we don't really relate to it in some of our traditional thinking out there. But welcome aboard the Growing in Grace podcast train.
Yes, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. His righteousness is mine. Eternal life is mine. Salvation is mine. And it's all because of what he did. That's why we can have that blessed assurance. But like you say, people will sing about it, sing that song, but then they'll go on every day doubting either their own salvation or their own standing with God, or they'll question the salvation and standing of God of other people. You know, they'll point fingers and say, well, that person, he's living in sin, and he's, and it's all the judgmentalism is all based upon how a person is living or even perceived to be living, when what happened with the cross of Jesus Christ and with his resurrection is that our sin was taken away, and it's not about our behavior. Yes, behavior is important, as we've said many times over those almost 20 years here, but it's not a salvation issue, and it's not a standing with God issue, because it's all based upon what he did, his death and his resurrection. Through that, our sin was taken away, and we were given brand new life, and we are in Christ, again, because of what he's done, so we can have that assurance. And I think that's what Paul was trying to convey throughout his epistles. There was a lot of confusion in the early church. God ended up revealing the gospel directly to Paul, and you'll see a lot of what God revealed to Paul throughout his epistles as Paul writes to different churches in the early days of the church. He'll write to different groups of people to explain. Maybe they had a misunderstanding about something, like in the case of Galatians, which we've been talking about. There was a misunderstanding where some people had come in and said, well, yeah, you guys believe in Jesus. That's great. That's wonderful. But here you also need to keep the works of the law. And so Paul came in many of his epistles and said, hey, that's not so, and here's how it really is. And so that's where we find ourselves here in Galatians. Last week, we had talked about how Paul, Galatians 3, he called those Galatians foolish Galatians. He called them foolish, bewitched, for not realizing that, yes, they began in the Spirit, which was, you know, by grace through faith. But now, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? You're trying to get yourself perfected by the works of the flesh. And so he goes on, and we won't get into everything we talked about last week, but I think we left with Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Well, who was the us that Paul was writing about? That, of course, well, I say of course, but it's something that we've come to understand, that he wasn't talking about Christians. Christ has redeemed us Christians from the curse of the law, because we were actually never under the law. These Galatians, they began in the Spirit after having never been under the law. If they had been Gentiles, they had never been under the law. So Christ redeemed the people of Israel from the curse of the law. Because back to verse 10, it says, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. That's the people of Israel. Those are the ones who were under the curse of the law. And Christ had redeemed them from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, again, for the people of Israel. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And the reason for this, why did Christ redeem them from the curse of the law? Verse 14, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's really what this is all about. Go back up to verse 8 or so, and it talks about the scripture had foreseen that God would justify all the Gentiles by faith. That's really what Paul is talking about here, that it's all about having been justified by faith, not by the works of the law, not by doing any good works. And so Paul is really trying to stress this message to these former Gentiles in Galatia who were being seduced into this message that they needed to not only have faith in Jesus, but also keep the works of the law. And he's telling them it's all about this promise that God had made to Abraham, this blessing that might come upon the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's really what it's all about.
That is what it's all about, the promise of the Spirit through faith, not through what you do. Hello. This is awesome, isn't it? And it kind of reminds me of something we've talked a lot about here on the podcast over the years and in Ephesians chapter 2, just based on what you were just talking about. Paul, just like he was to the Galatians, to the Ephesians, these were Gentile audiences that he was writing to. And he said in Ephesians 2, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, you were called the uncircumcision by the circumcision. So the Jewish people, you know, nicknames here, the Jewish people were the circumcision, the non-Jewish people, most of the world, was called the uncircumcision. Remember at that time, you Gentiles, that you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, in Christ, you who were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace, who has made us both one. And even more related to what you were just talking about, he has broken down in his flesh the barrier or the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both, Jews and Gentiles, to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. So he preached peace to you who were far off, you Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, the Jews. They were being brought together here because, why? Because the old law, as referenced in Galatians chapter 3, the old law brought the ability, the old law having been torn down by Jesus, that dividing wall was broken down, and that opened up the door for Gentiles to receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And now let me go to the ESV here. He picks up in Galatians 3:15, to give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, plural, referring to many, but referring to one, and to you, and to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, after the covenant made with Abraham, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance, that word inheritance is powerful, we might need to spend some time on it. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. So Joel, there's so much to get into here, because Paul is kind of picking up steam here as he goes, writing to the Galatians, and we kind of started talking about Galatians chapter 3 last week, if you missed out on it. But he's picking up steam here, but it's important for us to realize that sometimes when Paul says us, he's not always referring to you and me. As we mentioned at the end of last week's program, and as Joel was just talking about, he has redeemed us Jews, from the curse of the law, so that you Gentiles could receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Yeah, it's so important to know that. That's one of those things that has really opened up my eyes to understand the gospel even more, just understanding when Paul is talking to or about the people of Israel or Jews or the circumcision versus when he's talking about Gentiles, non-Jews, or the uncircumcision. Like you had mentioned in Ephesians 2 there, like he said, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh. So he's referring to Gentiles here. At that time, you Gentiles were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's Ephesians 2:12. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, that's a reference to Gentiles. I used to just see that as non-Christians, people who didn't believe were once far off, but now when you believed, you've been brought near to, by the blood of Christ. Well, of course, yes, indeed, it's believers who are in Christ, but here he's specifically talking about those who were once far off, who had no hope and were without God in the world, Gentiles. They've been brought near by the blood of Christ, because Israel, even if they didn't believe, they were considered God's people. They were God's chosen people. So they were the ones who were, quote, near to God. And they were near not because of their good works or anything like that, but because they were his chosen people. And then in verse 14 of Ephesians, he himself is our peace, who has made both Jew and Gentile one, having broken down that middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Someone the other day brought up, well, Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law. And you hear that all the time. And this was even a person who says that they understand grace. And so I briefly brought them through how, yes, Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law because he came to fulfill the law. And if he would have abolished the law, he couldn't have kept the law. He couldn't have fulfilled the law. How can you fulfill something that's gone? But we find out what happened after the cross or through the cross. Once Jesus had fulfilled the law, this is what happened, what we see here in Ephesians 2. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances. And then through that, God created in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. So Jew and Gentile came together into one new man. It says one body. He came and preached peace to you who were far off, Gentiles, and to those who were near, the Jews. And through him, we both have access by one spirit to the Father. So tying that together with what's going on in Galatians 3, it just all fits together. Can you believe that? One man writing about the same things in two different epistles, that's kind of what we find throughout a lot of what Paul wrote. We'll find that he was making the same point, sometimes in through different words and in different ways, but it all kind of ties together. I'll let you talk about this word inheritance, because indeed that is very important. It was something that God had promised, not that people would receive through their works, not through what they would receive through law or anything like that, but it was through a promise. God had made this covenant, like this verse says that you read in Galatians 3:17, 430 years. It was 430 years before the law came that God made this covenant with Abraham. And so the law can't annul that previous covenant. In other words, the law came, but that previous covenant still stands. That's the one that actually still stands. And that's the one that when this law was finally broken down, and Paul gets into this a little more toward the end of Galatians 3, but that's when this promise was made accessible, not only for the Jews, but also for Gentiles.
Yeah, this inheritance, I think sometimes we overlook this word. It's something, of course, we've talked about over the years, but in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16, I'm in the New King James here, where there is a testament. Now, some translations might say covenant. Where there is a testament, there must also be of necessity the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant, or sometimes referred to as the old covenant, was dedicated without blood. It wasn't. So in different translations, we have this word, sometimes testament, sometimes called covenant, Sometimes the word will is used for ESV, Hebrews 9:16. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. Not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. And so the point here is that while Jesus lived, the will, the covenant, the testament could not take place. After he died, then this will was passed on, this covenant, this testament was passed on to those who would be receiving it as an heir, an inheritance. It's not something you work for. It's something that's gifted, usually because you're part of the family. And so I just wanted to make that point as we read through things like in Galatians chapter 3, a word like inheritance, that should get our attention, especially within the context of what Paul is saying.
Yeah, it's something that happens by birth and not by something that you do. And there will be more to say about all of this as we work our way through Galatians 3 and talk about what this inheritance is and how it all came about by grace through faith apart from works. And Colossians 2, Paul says some of the same things again that he has said in Ephesians 2, and it all ties into that, and I think I'll bring up some of that next week. So we're just kind of doing what we do here, you know, sharing the gospel and showing how these words of Paul were just so, the fact that he had a ministry that he was so passionate about, and he didn't spare any words. He didn't mince his words when he came to sharing with what he calls the foolish Galatians, sharing with them the foolishness of them trying to abide by a gospel that included works rather than just simply walking by the Spirit and having believed upon Jesus Christ. So we'll pick this up next week right here on the podcast, Growing in Grace.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.